Iris Bloom is an environmental issues and immigrant rights activist who also volunteers at the Grafton Peace Pagoda. She and another Peace Pagoda volunteer, George Cho, sat down with an HMM correspondent, Megan Marone, to discuss the events that have been happening at the beautiful site. Warning, one event they mentioned, the Hiroshima ceremony, already happened this past weekend.
So could you tell us your name and your affiliation with the Peace Pagoda and your work?
Yes, my name is Iris Marie Bloom, and I have been working on environmental issues, climate, fracking, environmental justice issues for 10 years now, and have also worked with other issues of justice, immigrant rights, anti-war, anti-racism for my lifetime, but environmental work really for the last 10 years. So I was involved with fighting to stop Pilgrim pipelines from coming through from Albany to northern New Jersey, doing that work for 4 years. And that's how I met the Nipponzan Myoho-ji Buddhist Order, which is the order that has built this Peace Pagoda. Because last year, as a matter of fact, exactly 1 year ago today, they did a peace walk called a Water Walk for Life along the Pilgrim Pipelines route, the proposed Pilgrim Pipelines route from northern New Jersey up to Albany. And I was amazed at their persistence, the beauty of their spirit, their competence also at organizing a walk like that, which was 17 days, 130 miles, something like that. It was a big undertaking, and they did it so beautifully. So I volunteer here, I have gotten involved, and it's a very beautiful place to be, the Grafton Peace Pagoda in particular. So it's where work on fracking, climate, and other environmental issues as well as peace and justice come together.
So could you just give us the dates of the years that you worked on the Pilgrim Pipeline and also anything you know about the current status of that?
Sure. So I worked on Pilgrim Pipelines from 2014, was a co-founder of Coalition Against Pilgrim Pipelines New York, and my little nonprofit, Protecting Our Waters, has been part of that. And we really had to fight hard and build a big coalition very fast with 31 different towns, cities, and villages from Albany to northern New Jersey involved. And the pipeline is essentially in a coma. We can't say that it's dead because it still could submit, the company could still submit an application. But about a year ago, a little over a year ago, they stopped submitting any more applications. So it seems that our opposition really, really made the difference.
Wow. So they backed off.
Yeah. And we remain ready if they jump back into life. They still have some employees, like they're still, you know, acting like they want to build this pipeline. So we're still ready for them.
So last question, and then we can get into you speaking about the events that are happening at the Peace Pagoda, and then we can also hear from George. So the last question on the Pilgrim Pipeline issue is that I know with the Dakota Access Pipeline, there's the whole issue of people in Bismarck protesting against that pipeline going through their city, of people who have property and they didn't want their property value to go down and they didn't want their water contaminated. It was removed as an idea from Bismarck, but then there was the movement to put it through Standing Rock. And obviously to not consider the same human considerations that you did in Bismarck as, you know, with Standing Rock. So I had heard that a similar dynamic had happened in the towns from northern New Jersey. I know of certain towns where this happened up north. And even though the applications are not being submitted anymore and it's kind of in slumber, did you see that same dynamic of wealthier towns pushing this pipeline away and the pipeline being rerouted to other places where the actual inhabitants of the place might not have as much political power or weight or voice in the decision making about the pipeline?
So I worked primarily in New York with Coalition Against Pilgrim Pipelines New York. In New York, we were able to develop such unity, and we had such a grassroots outreach campaign doing relentless education at the grassroots levels, but we also had elected officials who were really progressive, really dynamic, really on top of things, that building their own coalition of elected officials. So we had very little of that. We had tremendous unity in New York, except a little bit of problem with Tuxedo Park, where they are so wealthy that they were able to get some fancy lawyers and basically kind of say, hey, we don't really, you know, no matter what, you're not coming through Tuxedo Park. But in the rest of the towns, villages, and cities, we were really all working together. So we're really proud of that. I can't speak for New Jersey in terms of many towns, but certainly the Ramapo Lenape Nation developed a camp to stand with Standing Rock and also Flint Rock Sweetwater Camp. So, and they also had Pilgrim Pipelines coming right through their land, and they also had Spectra coming right through their land. So they
and were the facing, town of Ramapo yes. saying, we want your land, which is worth millions.
Yes. Yes, so that is where the kind of triple, quadruple oppression in terms of genocide, racism, and just plain land grabs and exploitation, that was all coming. And that's why we focus a lot on solidarity with Ramapo Lenape Nation, as well as other indigenous leaders in New York and New Jersey. So we in New York stayed in strong solidarity with Ramapo Lenape Nation and went there physically as well. The Water Walk for Life started there. That's where the starting point was. So it was very clear solidarity.
So that's interesting. It started in one of the more controversial places or contentious places. George, would you mind introducing yourself and explaining who you are, and then we'll go back to the events.
My name is George Cho, and I have been volunteering with Grafton Peace Pagoda for the last 5 years. And within this community, raising awareness with Junsan, praying, chanting, walking through local communities during peace walks, whether it's raising awareness for these pipelines that are going to be running through the local communities, or raising awareness and supporting the Ramapo, Lenape, and other Native Americans that are marginalized.
Aside from Grafton, you had asked to talk about issues, environmental work that I'm currently doing. And I did want to mention the connection between pipelines and fracking and single-use plastics, because I'm close to the communities that are experiencing fracking in West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, Texas, so many states. They're being devastated. One of the things that happens with fracking is that ethane comes up as well as methane. And ethane is used to develop, guess what? Single-use plastics like straws, cups, bottles, stirrers. These are toxic to the environment, to the oceans, to climate. And they come from fracking. So I would encourage all the sympathizers and supporters who believe this is all wonderful work to stop pipelines and stop fossil fuels and stop fracking, to also stop themselves using single-use plastic as part of a love for the earth and for the future.
So are there any events of the Peace Pagoda coming up that specifically address that? And can you just tell us about the events?
I'll talk about the big event that's coming up on Saturday, August 11th, where the public is welcome. There's usually well over 100 people for a very special event. It starts in Grafton Town Square at 6:30 p.m., and there's a short peace walk to Grafton Peace Pagoda, so people that can walk or want to walk can join that, or just come to Grafton Peace Pagoda for the ceremony. And it is led by Buddhist nun Junsan, who is incredibly special, a very important leader. And also it's very multi-faith, interfaith. So last year there were not only Buddhists, but also indigenous leaders, Muslim, Jewish, Catholic, Baha'i, you know, a lot of variety and diversity in both the leadership and the ceremony and in the people. So it's very beautiful. And of course, it is about Hiroshima Day. So it is commemorating the U.S. murdering so many people, so many Japanese people. And that's my word. That's my belief. August 6th and August 9th, Hiroshima and Nagasaki days. So there's a very sober aspect of both being against nuclear weapons and being against war, being for nonviolence. And I myself, as an individual, Well, I worked for the peace movement for many years, and I made a personal pilgrimage to Hiroshima and Nagasaki on my own in 1989. So for me to be around people who understand and care so much is very moving. It's very beautiful.
Well, thank you. And George, would you mind describing your involvement in what happens on, it's the anniversary, right? October 7th.
And we should mention the feast. There's always good food.
There's a feast?
There's always a feast. So October 7th will be the 25th year anniversary of Grafton Peace Pagoda. So this commemorates the many, many years of volunteerism and the local communities coming together. So 25 years is a long time, and it's a big, big event. And we're going to have many speakers from Native Americans, interfaith prayers. There will be lots of music and dancing and plenty of good food and offerings. All are welcome. And I think having good food, healthy food, is a draw for the general public. So even if you feel hesitant about religious ceremonies or prayers, the food is really good. So you need to come.
The food and the trees and the beauty.
And the music.
And the music.
And I'll say as a relative newcomer, because I met all these folks 1 year ago today, that I felt very welcome, and I've become part of that community that welcomes others. And today we had newcomers coming who just have come two or three times a year, maybe, or two or three times in a lifetime. And they comment that they come because it feels so peaceful. You can feel it. So we need that as a people.
We just want to invite the general public, whether it's on an anniversary or a ceremony, probably a great time to come on your own when everything is very quiet and peaceful. So to come meditate, to come with family, bring your children, just to be part of this land and feel this peaceful energy.
That was George Cho and Iris Bloom of the Grafton Peace Pagoda discussing events in the past and the future that are happening at the temple. Please visit www.graftonpeacepagoda.org to learn more about events, volunteering, and the mission of spreading peace.